ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians, called to a higher level of understanding, will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
Good evening. This is Brother Mike of Kingdom Identity Ministries, welcoming you to another one of our first of the month live Kingdom Concepts broadcasts. We're being heard tonight over shortwave station WWCR on transmitter 3, that's 4.840 megahertz, and transmitter 1, that's 3.215 megahertz, and also shortwave radio station WBCQ on 6.160 megahertz. You can go to our radio page, kingidentity.com, kingidentity.com, and go to our radio page and you'll see some links and some information there. If you'd like to participate in tonight's program, you can call our toll-free number, 877-924-7722. You can remember that by 877-YAWS-RACE. 877-924-7722 if you have questions and comments. Scripture tells us that there are many different gifts and callings within the body of Christ. The many members are to work together under His headship to advance His kingdom and rule the world in righteousness according to His laws. Some within Christendom think that they have fulfilled their role by playing church once a week and do not recognize or discern the callings of others within the body. God placed us in positions that please Him, and just as the kings and priests and warriors of old cooperated to achieve His purpose in the earth, we are to assemble ourselves together as one church, that's body of Christ, and we are told that the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. My guests tonight are two men of different callings, David James, a radio minister, and Billy Roper, an activist and coordinator of the Shield Wall Network. I'd like to welcome both of you to the broadcast.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me, sir.
Well, thank you for being here. I certainly believe in Bible study. That's much of what this ministry is about. But there's a lot more to it than that. Christ told us we are to occupy until He comes, that is, to take dominion. I'd like to hear your comments concerning our purpose in being here on earth, along with information on your individual callings. Why don't we start with you, David, and Billy, just jump in anywhere you like.
Okay. I'd like to first say something to the people of our race that is very important to understand. And what is Christianity? Is Christianity 33,000 denominations and the Catholic Church? Or is Christianity the race of people known as the race of Adam, who are the literal offspring of Yahweh Himself? You see, the world, everything in the world is media-driven, and they drive all these things home through all the avenues of the media. The churches that you see in the world are not Christianity. You cannot mix light and darkness, as you know, and Judaism and Christianity do not mix together. The Jews are a hybrid people, and they use these things to mix things that don't belong together. And it creates an hybrid priesthood, so to speak. And that's what you're seeing in these so-called Christian churches. They're full with mongrels And in many of the churches that you see today, I've come across pastor after pastor after pastor after pastor and come to find that they're Jews. So that means that the congregations that you're seeing in the world, that the world tells you is Christianity, are tainted and are an abomination to the Heavenly Father. He does not go for mixed priesthoods like the Catholic Church, which is a blend between the pagan priesthood and sprinkled in with Christian elements. See, that's an abomination to the Father. He doesn't go for hybrids. He doesn't go for hybrid people. He doesn't go for hybrid anything. And you know that in the scriptures, it talks about the priests of Baal that were trying to mix with the Israelite priesthood. The Father doesn't go for this. This is what you're seeing in mainstream Christianity. It's a falsehood. It's not the real Christianity. So, saying that, what is the real Christian? What would the real Christian church be? First of all, it wouldn't be a church. It would be a congregation. And who would be in this congregation but the children of Yahweh? See, it is not meat to give the children's bread to the dogs, right? See, if he had come to save the whole world, he wouldn't have called that woman who was a Canaanite a dog, would he? She would be equal with the people of Israel, the children. Did you notice that he called them, he called it the children's bread? It is not meat. It is not right to give the children's bread to dogs. Okay? And so what you're seeing in the world today is they're coming into our nations and they're stealing our inheritance, our blessings, and they're giving it to the dogs. Did you notice that? You see, they're telling you that they're giving us these $1.9 trillion, $1.9 trillion things for COVID response, and they're sending the money out of the country to the dog nations. They're not sending it to white nations. They're sending it to the dogs. And it is not meat to give the children's blessings to dogs. So who would be in the Christian church but the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, Nordic, and Germanic peoples? There would be no mongrel in a congregation of Yahweh. If there were a mongrel in that congregation, it would be tainted. It would be not right, and it's not allowed. So you see that the world that we're living in, there's two different worlds. When it says God so loved, you know, us that he sent his only son, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. There's two different worlds here. And I, on my shows, liken it to Positiva and Negato. There's the world that Christ did not die for, which is the wicked world that we see with the beast system and everything. And then there's the world of his children, his literal offspring. You notice that one of the biggest deceptions in the whole world is that we are all God's children. That's a pure lie, if lies could be pure. And so think about that. We're not all God's children, not by any means. As a matter of fact, there's the seed line of the dragon, and every tree not planted by my Father shall be plucked up. You see? So there, I just wanted to say this one more thing, and then I'll turn it over to you, Billy. But I want you to understand something that, you know, was something it took me a while to come to the knowledge of. You see, the Jews descend from Cain, and Cain is the product of a corrupt tree, and a corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit. Therefore, Cain was not Abel's brother, but was his half-brother, which means that Cain was an half-breed. He was an hybrid. He was the product of an angel and the daughters of men, which is the same as the Nephilim. So when Cain lied to the face of Yahweh and he murdered his half-brother Abel, the father could have just done him right then and judged him completely. He did judge him that he would be a vagabond and a wanderer and a fugitive in the world, and that he would not be able to farm any longer. He was a farmer. And so he let Cain walk away knowing fully that down through the ages, when he would come in a flesh body as Jesus Christ, that the descendants of Cain, these Pharisee Jews, would be the ones to crucify him. That's why he let Cain go, because it had to be done. He had to come here in the material plane in order to restore us and redeem us. So understand that when Cain walked away, he is a half-breed. So through the ages, he has mixed with other races and mixed and mixed and mixed with all the races. So what you should know about that is that all he could bring forth is another tree, corrupt tree, because there is no such thing as a pure Jew. That Cain is the beginning. There was never, he was not a pure Jew. And every time he had a child with even a full race person, that child was now an hybrid and not a pure Jew. There is no such thing as a pure Jew. There never has been such thing as a pure Jew. There never can be. They are corrupted, and the reason why they hate us vehemently is because we are the pure-blooded sons of Yahweh and daughters of Yahweh. They are corrupt and can never be pure because, let me just say this, two Jews marry each other, they're both hybrids. So you can't bring two hybrids together to make a full Jew. You understand? There's no such thing as a pure Jew. All it can do is produce another tree that cannot bring forth good fruit. I hope that makes sense to you, because this is something that needs to be understood. What do you think about that, Billy?
Well, brother, I agree 100% also. I'm a follower. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm also a believer in dual seed line, so I agree 100% with your comments. Absolutely. I was enjoying listening to you. I had muted myself, so I apologize for that. But definitely was enjoying your dual seed line explanation, especially for those maybe listening for the first time and are not familiar with their identity, with who they are, which is what this program is all about and has been for 29 years. So thank you for that message. To answer Brother Halmore's really good question about my calling, I was brought to Christian identity faith from Pastor Butler, working with him and traveling around with him. And so he made me aware of my identity, and so I give him credit for that. Of course, primary credit, of course, the grace of God, our Father. But my calling, we've all three seen, these people of the flesh, this non-spiritual world, secular people who don't know their identity, and they don't know what their purpose in life is. There's so many lost souls who travel through this life not knowing what they're supposed to be doing or feeling like they have never gotten fulfillment because they don't know what their calling is. And very few of us are fortunate enough to know what God wants us to be doing. I know that I am a very, very small cog in a little bit larger wheel that's part of God's glorious master plan. I'm very replaceable. I'm very expendable. If I break, someone else will take my place. I'm not anything special. But I'm very blessed to know what my very small role is in God's plan. And that is, like Brother Halmore said so many times and said at the beginning, we're supposed to be watchmen on the wall. Our job is to warn our people of what is coming and what their fates will be if they don't, make sure they're on the right team. And being a watchman on the wall means that as long as I broadcast the truth to our people, then they have, the responsibility to listen or not. And if they don't listen, their blood is not on my hands. But if I don't give that message out, if I don't try to save them, if I don't tell them the truth, God's truth, then, their blood is on my hands. So I have the responsibility. So my role in God's plan, my purpose in life, is to try to accelerate that prayer, that Brother Halmore said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, God's time, God's plan, none of us can speed it up or slow it down. But I think we all agree that God is regathering our Adamic kindred together, that remnant together, out of the coastlands, away from the multiracial cesspit cities, and to the heartland. Bring them together, regathering here in North America in preparation for, you know, this final battle that's coming. And that's what I do with the Schoenwald Network, and we call it Project New America. But basically, it's following the plan of trying to encourage our people to move out of diverse cities, away from the coast, and specifically, because it's where we are, to what we call Ozarkia, to Northern Arkansas and Southern Missouri. And I know that Brother Halmore, you know, moved here for a reason and is very familiar with the attraction to the region as well, as have others from, you know, Gerald Duck A. Smith forward. But my purpose, as I see it, as I interpret God calling me, is to be that watchman on the wall to warn our people of what is coming and to, you know, in whatever language I can conceptualize and accept it, to save them from destruction, save their children from destruction, and to prepare them for what is coming by getting them away from multiracial areas and to rural, white, homogeneous areas, especially like Ozarkia. And that's what the Schoenwald Network is all about, and that's what we're white nationalist preppers, and, you know, we're trying to do God's work, even among those who don't know they're yet God's people. But we try to do what we can to save, you know, like you were talking about, Brother James, you know, Matthew 15:24, those lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Okay, may I say something about your organization? I know nothing about it, but what you just told me, maybe this will shed some light on something. You know, Bill Gates is out buying all kinds of farmland. Do you know why that might be? I know why.
I think that, you know, okay, go ahead.
Okay, well, I mean, I did ask you, do you know why? Go ahead and say, and then I'll tell you what I know it to be. Go ahead.
Right. Well, I believe that the reason why, you know, he's hedging, because there might be the kind of systemic collapse that's coming where having a corner on arable farmland, you know, that's going to be a valuable commodity, because otherwise people will be starving to death.
Okay. He's buying up tons of farmland. He's not just buying himself a farm. I'm going to tell you why it's happening. You see, what you just said was important, that we know that our people are now finding out that they want to go back to their roots where the farm was. They no longer want to live in the city where the Jew and evil is attracted there. So they want to move to farmland so that they can farm and live off of it. But Bill Gates is a Jew in the guise of a white man. He is not a white man whatsoever. And he's buying up that farmland so that either he can abuse the people coming in to make money off them, or he can not sell it to them and see that that land is not farmed, thus helping to create a food shortage. And this is exactly in the plan. You know that, you know, it's very easy to see. So by buying up all the food, you know, farmland, it's the kind of the same thing that happened in the Bolshevik Revolution. The government took all the farmland away from the people, because the farm is a protection for the Anglo-Saxon people. The farm is where you don't have to be dependent on the supermarket. The farm is freedom from working for a Jew company and having to toe the line of foolishness that they make people toe. And you can see that all these companies and so on and so forth have turned against the Anglo-Saxon white man, because the brown man is what the future is, according to these people. Like I was saying about purity, they hate the pure-blooded, and they want to create a brown man for the whole race, for the whole earth. Meaning that every
purity in anything.
Right.
One of the things they hate purity in is the seeds. They're making all these GMO seeds, where we no longer have natural type food anymore. Also, right, you mentioned earlier that about the congregation, I'd like to point out that the congregation is more than a local church congregation and assembly. It's the whole body politic. It includes the priests and the congregation, you know, which is the pastor, but it also includes the government, the king. It includes the warriors, people who go out and fight on different levels. And that's what we're trying to encourage tonight, is people not just to sit back and listen to some preacher somewhere, but to get out and do their part in bringing in the kingdom. Because every one of us right. have our own calling and our own part in bringing in his kingdom.
It's so true. And what we try to do with the Shield Wall Network is, you know, the keyword is network. And what we really want to get our people to do, the academic race to do, is to not just depend on talking to one another on the internet, online forums or whatever are fine, but the reality is the time is coming. We all three know it, when those will no longer be available to us. They're going to be shut down. So the people that you know in real life, the people that you know and trust face-to-face, that you've actually met in person, and probably the people who are within, you know, a close proximity to you, are going to be much more important than the number of likes you ever got on Facebook or the followers you ever had on Twitter or anything like that. So we're trying to encourage, we're trying to build in real life local networks of people who have skills that are related to, you know, getting back to the land, being self-sufficient, being as much energy and fuel and food independent as possible. And it's basically rural white people who are just keeping alive 19th, early 20th century techniques and technology and working together to relearn them. But, you know, we also, of course, there's a self-defense aspect of that involved as well with the Shield Wall Network. We have to be prepared to defend our people and our property, obviously. We're not terrorists or outlaws or anything like that, but at the same time, you know, we believe that the good Lord was correct when he said, if you don't have a sword, you should sell your cloak and buy one. So we make sure that we don't just have cloaks, right? But mainly we're focused on networking and getting people to the point where they meet one another in their local communities, start projects together, and then become persons of influence in their local communities at the very local level. You know, we don't believe we're going to vote our way out of this mess or anything like that, but we do think people should get involved in local charities and local civic organizations and, you know, get involved in their local city governments and county governments, because when the federal government is no longer able to issue edicts and enforce them, that power is going to devolve down to the local level. And we want to make sure it's our people whose voices are heard as voices of influence in those communities. And I think that, you know, now I'm not a scriptural authority on the book of Revelation, but I believe that we are indeed close to the times of tribulation, and it's going to be rough. There are going to be people starving to death and dying of disease and pestilence, as I'm sure both of you would agree. And that remnant that comes together of our dynamic people are going to have to be resourceful and rely on one another and to defend one another. And, you know, many of us will fall, and probably those like me may not even see it really kick off because we'll be the first ones taken out. But we hope that, you know, we can give a good accounting of ourselves. And we know. And what gives me happiness and serenity and peace in my heart, we know that we can always flip to the end of the book. And in the end, God wins. And as long as we make sure that we're on his team, that means ultimately we will win as well. We may lose a battle or two along the way. We may not even, to kind of paraphrase that nigger Martin Luther King, we may not get there to see it, you know, but we have been to the mountaintop and we have seen the other side, right? We know that God is going to win. If we remain on his side, we're going to win as well, whether we live to see it or not. And that gives me a peace and serenity. I'm not at all ever depressed or blackfield after 30 years in the movement, after, you know, everything that we all see in that amount of time. Because I know that we're going to win. That keeps me motivated and keeps me going. My faith does. But in the meantime, we're all about networking and prepping and, as much as possible, you know, bringing people together to trust one another and to work together.
A lot of it has to do with what are the priorities in our life. Matthew 6:33 tells us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. Well, a lot of people, they put the world first. You've got, like, secretaries who work for doctors, establishment doctors, and lawyers, and so on, and they wouldn't even think of helping a ministry. You've got people with technical abilities. They're out maybe mouthing off on the internet, but they're not putting their efforts towards advancing his kingdom, which is the reason we're down here, and we all have different talents that we can work together to bring in his kingdom.
And one thing I find often as far as that is that people who are motivated by manna, by filthy manna, and they have jobs. Now, I'm not taking anything away from somebody who works hard and they deserve what they get. Right? I'm not a communist. But people who are sort of attached to their jobs and their big houses in the city, that they will not move to a more rural, wide area where the standard of living might be a little bit slower for their children's future and the children's best interest. To me, like you say, they have their priorities out of whack. And so we try to encourage people to think about their children's future and where they want to be when the lights go out and don't come back on again, really.
Okay, I would like to say something about proselytizing. When Yeshua came to get his disciples, he did not proselytize them. He talked to them, they dropped what they were doing and followed him. Why was that? Because he is the shepherd, and they knew the shepherd's voice. They were his sheep. So what the Christian so-called churches do, and I'm going to try to save you a lot of trouble and time wasted. One thing I'll tell you is, one great secret I've told everybody is, that the devil wants to waste your time. And I should know because I wasted a lot of time and the devil helped me waste a lot of time. Who should, you know, when you first come to understand about Yeshua and you understand about the kingdom of God and these things, it takes time before you can even eat the meat of the word. So what people do is they go out and they start trying to shove it down people's throat. They try to proselytize people. Not only is the brand new Christian unequipped to do this, it's zeal, and it's nice to know that you've received the truth and you want to give it to everybody, but it takes time before you learn how to deliver. And Yeshua showed that by training up his disciples before he sent them to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He didn't just come and get them and say, go get them, boys. You know that I'm the truth. Go get them. See, that's not the way it works. So if you're looking for your calling, it goes like what happens is the first thing that you do, and we're in, again, talking about priorities, is you must learn the truth. The truth shall set you free. You see, the truth will set you free from the lies that are surrounding us and all that's going on. If you don't know the truth and you don't know how to defend the gospel of the kingdom of Yahweh, then you're not equipped as a soldier of Yahweh to go out and to tell people that truth totally. So it takes time for you to learn, and then eventually it will be revealed to you what your callings are. Usually your callings will be your talents. And some of us have many talents and wear many hats for the kingdom of Yahweh. Other people like to go and sit in the pew. They don't want to seek the truth. They want somebody to spoon feed them like babies for the rest of their lives. And they never check the truth, the so-called truth that they're being told in the pulpits. Therefore, they're just wounded sheep that never are ever learning but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. See, what this is, let me read this real quick. And he talks about the talents, right? It says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several abilities. You see, your talents. We all have abilities. As Anglo-Saxon people, especially, we have many abilities. We can do many types of things. We can wear many types of hats. But many of us never discover our talents. We hide our talents. Not me. I'm not speaking of me, but some of our people hide their talents because they're fearful or because they're ashamed of Yahweh and they're ashamed to talk to somebody and say, you know, I believe in the Father in heaven. They're ashamed because of what somebody may think. So it says he gave to every man according to his several ability and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that received 2, he also gained another 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Okay, you understand? You don't hide your talent. Your talent, you're supposed to shine your light before the world so that all can see. You see, and all of the talents are to, all the glory is to be given to Yahweh, not to us. We don't need any glory. We don't have any reason to have any glory. We would throw our crowns before the Father's throne, just as the 24 elders do. So we don't do things for our glory. We do it for his glory. So, but he that had received the 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And his Lord said unto him, I don't use the term Lord because Lord means Baal, but in this case, we're talking about a Lord of, you know, a business, so to speak, and yet it's the kingdom of the Father. I just would like to make that clear. I don't use the term Lord anymore because it means Baal. But anyway, in this case I do, when he's teaching a parable. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents, so the same thing happened with him, and he said, well done, and good and faithful servant. I'm just cutting to the chase. Verse 24, then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard and hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid. You see what I say about being afraid? And he went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, thou hast that that is thine. No, that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchanges, and then at my coming I should have received mine with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it to them, give it to him which have 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And listen to this. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, let me just comment on this whole thing. I understand you think it's about a man who wants to make all kinds of money, and you can take it that way if you wish, but I just told you about talents. Remember I said a corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit? But a man with many talents knows how to fish in the streams and become a fisher of men and, you know, bring forth good fruit for the kingdom. These 2 brought forth good fruit because they used their talents. They didn't hide their talents. They weren't afraid to use their talents to show their talents. They weren't afraid to speak the truth, even though that's not popular in our day, or never has been anyway. But this other servant, he was afraid. And you know what it says, that the fearful shall be cast into the lake of fire. The fearful is one of them, and liars and everything. You know, in the book of Revelation, I believe it's 21:18, I think it is. But what I'm saying is this one decided, well, I'm too afraid to do anything. I don't want any, you know how Yeshua says, if any man try to save his own life, he shall surely lose it. And if any man lose his own life for my sake, he shall gain it, right? That's what the ones with the talents did. They lost their life. They might have lost things for the kingdom, but they brought forth good fruit and abundantly. This other one wanted to save his own life, and he was afraid. You see? And so he didn't try to bring any fruit into the earth. He just was a coward and not an overcomer, etc., etc. And you must be an overcomer. So when you look at this, people come into the kingdom and they think, well, all I really have to do is go sit in the pew and I've done my part in the kingdom of God. Well, you will find one day, if you do not seek the truth and you do not find out what your talents are and you do not learn the word of Yahweh and how to wield it, you will find yourself in the place of this servant. And it's not a good place. You know, lots of people do things and they think they're doing them for God. And Yahweh will say to them, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you.
It should also be pointed out that we need to be doing what he wants us to do. John 15:16 says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go forth and bring good fruit. Over in John 15:19, it says, I have chosen you out of the world. And then Romans 9:11 talks about according to election, him that calleth. So it's according to his calling, and we're not to push ourselves into an area that he didn't call us to. But on the other hand, we should do everything to achieve what he has called us to and nothing less.
Very well said. Yeah, so, and, you know, Brother Gaines was also making a great point about talents, and that's a wonderful parable. It kind of reminds me, I was reading Brother James on your website a couple of days ago, and you have amazed me. I mean, speaking of not pushing ourselves into places that we don't have talents for, just speaking of different kind of talents, but when you listed on your website the number of musical instruments that you are accomplished in, I am a person, I have no musical talent whatsoever, and when I sing in the shower, I irritate myself, right? So I have no musical ability whatsoever. So I'm really amazed and appreciative of your musical talent. And that kind of made me think when I was reading your website description of those things, I would never try to push myself into being anything musical or singing because I don't have any talent at all in that regard. You obviously do, which is a blessing. But, you know, here where I live, close to Mountain View, and you know, Brother Hal Moore can confirm this for you. In Ozarkia as a whole, this area of northern Arkansas and southern Missouri that we're trying to get people to move to for a seedbed white ethno state, and we have 100 contiguous connected counties that are over 90% white or higher, which is a huge area. It's larger than the state of Arkansas itself, but, you know, across both borders of both states. And that's why we believe this is a seedbed white ethno state, especially for Adamic people to regather. But here, especially in Mountain View, it's called the folk music capital of the world. I know you're originally from, I guess, the Boston area, and now you live in the South, so we'll consider you an honorary Southerner, right? But if you'd like to, if you ever had a chance to visit this area, this is a place where people love musicians and playing music, and you could find, you know, any number of dozens of people who'd love to hear you play and to play with you. You know, old-fashioned Celtic reels and music from our European fatherland going back centuries that has been adapted into mountain music that I think you'd really love it here and really enjoy playing music with the people here in Mountain View and in Ozarkia.
Well, let me just say this about what I, because I wanted to get this in. I don't want to be a hog, but I just wanted people to understand about what should you do? Should you proselytize people? Should you drag them? You see, when I first had found out about the truth and I was a Judeo-Christian and I thought I had the real truth at that point, I began to try to drag people into the kingdom. I felt that if I should talk to them you know, and I just keep mentioning things to them that eventually they'll come to their senses. But what I didn't know was that's not what Yeshua wants at all. You see, if they heard you speak about something about the Word of God and they recognized and were a child, I mean, yeah, they could be white, but that doesn't mean they're his sheep. See, because it's the same as the disciples. His sheep knew his voice and they understood it. They didn't have to be tugged by the ear or pulled by the clothes or anything like that. So if you are, I wasted many hours trying to get people to come to my way of thinking about the truth, and they just don't want it. And so many of our people are frustrated because they're trying to win people to the kingdom, and they don't know that you can't win a mongrel to the kingdom. There's no point. You can't win a Jew to the kingdom. There's no point. And so I'll just tell you real quick, and then, you know, that'll be the end of what I have to say. I'll tell you how I wear different hats to fish in the streams. Music is something when I first came to the Father that I thought that that was my calling. But little did I know, I had the talents and I've learned all the things I've learned and I'm working on my 16th album, but that was not my main calling. And so I didn't understand that at the time. I didn't know at the time that you had to make a deal with the children of the devil to be in the music business. See, I was too gullible. I didn't understand. I thought when you were growing up, you could pick some kind of thing that you wanted to do with your life. And you, if you worked at it, and I know how, once you learn how to practice things and you do things faithfully, you eventually, you know, do it well. And so I didn't know this, but the Father knew it. So I thanked him that I never made it in that business. I am of that caliber, but I'm glad I never made it. So I use my music as one of the ways I fish in the stream for men and women, of course. You know what I mean? I'm a fisher of men. So that's one of my talents. I work on audio. I do several shows of different kinds of things that attract different kinds of fish into the stream. Once they're in the stream, I don't force anything upon them. I don't proselytize them. I just do what I do. And if they come, they come. If they don't, so be it. The Father's not looking for people that are forced into the kingdom because, you see, the Jews, we've seen this example over and over and over again. He told you that he spoke in parables so that the Jews would not understand, because he knew it was a waste of time and that a corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit. So why bother bringing up a corrupt tree into the kingdom that will never bring forth good fruit? He knew that all along. So the Catholic Church, which is a false Christian church, like most Christian churches, most of the religions in this world have Lucifer as their God. The Catholic Church claimed that Lucifer is God and that Jesus is his son. The Judeo-Christians, which is the Jewish version of Christianity and not a real version of Christianity, has a Jewish Jesus that's a hippie, and they don't like Yahweh in the older part of the Testament. They like this new love God. It's loves queers and loves everything and anything goes in his kingdom. You see, this is one of the reasons why the Father nixed the priesthood, is because back then in Israel, you would sin and then you would take a couple of turtle doves or something like that to the priest, and that beast or those creatures would be killed, those innocent creatures, and you would be forgiven your sin. So if you had plenty of money, you could afford to sin. Well, nothing's changed in this new version of this Jewish version of Christianity, which says the law is gone. You don't have to obey the law. And it says that what it means is that you can live, you can do what thou wilt. That's the devil's thing. That came from Aleister Crowley, the Jew. do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. So since Jesus died on the cross, this Jewish iffy Jesus, whatever you do, it doesn't matter. You can't be written out of it. You're in for good once you say this little prayer, and you can sin as much as you want in reality because his blood will cover it. This is a complete lie. It's an abuse, and it's an abuse of the priesthood. And so Israel's main thing is that Israel nations, Israelite nations, were to be an example to the other nations, and that's how they would be kings and priests, by showing what happens to a nation when you obey the Father's laws and you love him. We were not sent to black nations and other nations to proselytize them and bring them into our kingdom because they're not the children of Yahweh. You understand? So all this stuff they've been showing you in the world is the opposite of what Yahweh's will is. And so I'd better leave some room for, you know, for you to speak, Billy. But just think about that for a little while. It's nothing. Christianity is nothing like you. The world shows you it is. That's the Christianity that has Lucifer as their God. The Jewish Jesus cannot be the real Jesus. He must be Lucifer, right? And so it's the same thing over and over and over again. When you talk about Positiva and Negato, that's Negato. That Jewish Jesus died for the whole world, died for queers, died for everybody to be, you know, brought into the kingdom and spiritually grafted in to be the seed of Abraham. You don't have to be of the bloodline. But in Positiva, you have to be of the true bloodline. Bloodline is everything. Race is everything. And the Bible is not a religious book. It's a book about the race of Adam and his story. Over to you.
I was going to say, among other things, we need to have growth. We probably all came from some kind of a Judeo background, and then we learned this message, and hopefully we all continue to learn. But different talents are given us along the way for the overall calling, as David pointed out. But we're in a training period as servants, and then what the Bible calls the adoption of sons is the placing of sons. And we want to be in full sonship doing our calling as one with the Father. And so it's a constant learning, and it's using our talents for his purpose, not just whatever we want to do with them.
Exactly. Brother James was talking that, I was raised a Southern Baptist, and I was always racially conscious, raised to be racially conscious, but it was not until 2003, actually, when Pastor Butler was able to bring me back to a Christian identity and to recognize that I was an identity, son of Yahweh. I give the credit for him for that, like I said. But when Brother James was talking about his experience in the music industry, it kind of reminded me of my own experience in the academic world. When I finished my master's degree and was, going to work on my doctorate, I recognized that that was not in my future, not in God's plan for my life, because I would have to be telling lies, or at least repeating other people's lies. And if I was able to slip in some truth, it would be, peppered with lies. And so I wasn't comfortable doing that. So I walked away from my academic career after I finished and defended my master's degree thesis, and went to work for Dr. Pierce, and since then, since I guess 2000, I've been a public activist for our people. But, also writing. So, I've got 16 published fiction and nonfiction books. They were published at least until, Amazon and other publishers. I've had 4 different publishers that have published my books and then unpublished them because of their content, because it's, racist. And now we're self-publishing and got them available on VinlandFreedomPress.net. But, we got, 4 of them available, and 2 more this week are coming back out. But, that was another thing. I thought that I wanted to be a teacher, and that I would be able to get a hold of these bright young minds and to help them to be, at that point, I thought patriotic conservatives, that was the degree that I was at. And then I thought that, if I was just able to write books and reach people that way in a literary sense, through fiction and nonfiction, But, you know, again, like Brother James' experience with the music industry, I was a little bit naive and didn't recognize how corrupted it was. And that was also obviously not God's plan for my life. And I feel now that I'm kind of in humility accepted that I'm not going to be a PhD college professor. That wasn't his plan. And I'm not going to be a best-selling author. That wasn't his plan either. You know, now I feel like I'm comfortable and content in being, you know, Billy Roper and Showall Network coordinator and the small role that I can in, you know, moving forward his kingdom. But I want to thank Brother James for sharing that message because it really reminded me of sometimes, you know, the good Lord has a better plan for us than we have for ourselves.
Billy, and also David, why don't you here, because we don't have that many minutes left, give some contact information to our listeners so they can contact both of you if they wish to.
Yes. I wanted to just say to Billy real quick, was to be a college professor, I understand that you understand this. Say you were a history professor. You're going to be paid very well. All right, I'm just giving an example. I'm not saying that's what you are, but let's just say in a college you were to be an history professor. You would be paid very well, but you would have to lie to the students about what the history was, even if you knew what the true history was. Right, this is, but see, many people can do that. They can, you know, override their conscience. They can serve mammon. They could even say, well, I'm a Christian. That's such a loose term today. It's ridiculous. You can't be a Christian and serve mammon as well. So in other words, you had to make the choice. Do I lie to the children and bring them up? All people that are liars like that, are practicing liars, are going to be in the lake of fire. You're not going to be saved. You're going to be put away. So the Father, if he took you out from that, he saved you something from something great. It may have been something you desired, but your own death. There is a way that seems right to a man, but this leads unto death. So the same as me, right? So in other words, he didn't let me make it in the music business, and he didn't let you make it as a liar, right? So
exactly.
Thank God, thank Yahweh that he didn't. You see, it ends up that what he did was a blessing. So let me just, I'll just tell you what I don't have a lot of information to say. My website is davidjamesboston.com. And if you want to email me, it's davidjamesboston@gmail.com. You can find my BitChute channel there. You can find my blog there. You can find my music there. And you can find all the archives of all the shows. I do 6 shows a week. And so that's davidjamesboston.com.
Excellent. Go ahead, I've already found your site. I'm going to be recommending it to others as well. As far as mine, so we have a lot of mirror sites that direct people back to our main site. People can go to arianwarrior.com or they can go to whitenationalist.com, whitenationalist.net. But our primary website for the Showall Network is shieldwallnetwork.com. And pretty straightforward, shieldwallnetwork.com is our website that has information about our White Nationalist Preppers organization and has a daily updated Bulk Right blog and links to our video channels on BitChute and Archive and on lbry.com. And people can find, like I said, daily updated news and opinion political articles if they won't find anywhere else. They can also find out how they can get in touch with us so that we can help them network in real life with, you know, local white nationalists in their area, like-minded people of endemic race who are looking to survive what is coming. And what the White Nationalist Preppers Organization, the Showall Network, does is try to get people to understand that the balkanization of America is coming, and Brother David has on his website a couple of days ago, he had a scrolling marquee talking about the coming civil war. We believe that's definitely a thing as well. It's inevitable at this point that the balkanization of America is coming. And when it happens, they don't want to be in a multiracial diverse city. They want to be in a rural homogeneous area like here in Ozarkia, like here in North Arkansas, where Brother Halmore lives as well, by the way. And so if they need detailed information about this coming balkanization of America and the coming civil war and how that is demographically and inevitability right now, already happening voluntarily by people voting with their feet, separating out by race. They can go to VinlandFreedomPress.net, and my Hasten the Day trilogy, which is fiction, are now available back in print, paperback book there, as well as, I think most importantly, because it's nonfiction, my book, The Balk, is available there. And The Balk talks about how this is happening and why this is happening and what they need to do about it. And so, in all humility, in all modesty, I think it's a very important book to read, so much so that if people cannot afford to buy the print paperback book, that I will give them a free copy. They can email me at roper_billy@yahoo.com. They can go to VinlandFreedomPress.net and get a print paperback copy. But if they want a free PDF copy of The Balk, then they can email me at roper_billy@yahoo.com, and I'll be happy to send anybody who wants a free PDF copy, no charge, just because I think it's that important that people prepare to be among the remnant of our Adamic people who are regathered here to fight against God's enemies for this one big final battle that is about to start.
I've been told that every genuine revival since the country moved this far west has taken place initially in this area of the continent, in this area of the country. And also there have been some prophecies. I realize there's a lot of false prophecy, but there is a true prophecy. And it has mentioned this area of the country as being the area where the next genuine revival will come out of. I'd also like to say one more thing. I'd encourage our listening audience to read 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 31. It talks about diversity of gifts. It talks about the many-membered body. It talks about, you know, everybody's not an eye or a hand or et cetera, and talks about the different callings within the church. It goes right along with what we're talking about tonight. Anyway, I'd like to thank you both for being guests tonight. But like I said, we're out of time, so we're going to have to end the program here. Good night.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Good night. Thanks.
God bless.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message and that you are fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a
CD
of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our cost plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.